One of the scripture passages that I read this past week in my personal time of Bible reading and prayer was this, had this phrase in it, times of refreshing. And that just resonated with me because I think we all need that. I think we all want that, particularly during summer. A lot of regular activities cease and we're all just desiring times of refreshing. Do you feel that? Do you feel, I need things to slow down a little bit? I need some time at the pool. I need some time at the beach. I just need some times of refreshing. So kind of my hope is that this summer, our umbrella theme over whatever we talk about will be under this idea of times of refreshing from the Lord. And the verse, Acts 3, verse 19, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. So that just resonated with me this week. And I thought I'd share that verse with you. That's my verse. You know, we share verses at the beginning. That's my verse for this week. And we see times of refreshing come from confession and repentance. We just empty ourselves and we allow God to refresh us with his spirit. Times of refreshing does not come if we just come to God and we go, I'm keeping all my stuff. You know, I'm going to be my own boss. And I'm going to come and try to meet you that way. He's like, well, that's fine. You can come, but you're not going to get refreshed. So, but times are refreshing, and I hope that encourages us. All right, so this week I'm going to pick back up on prayer, where Jason started us off the path last week. And, you know, and I sent an email to a few of you guys just to kind of prime the pump to get us thinking about what does prayer look like in our lives? And I want to open it up for a couple of minutes. Some of you may be willing to share, but some of the questions, I think I've got some questions up here. This idea of practice in prayer, what does your prayer time look like? Do you have any prayers that you pray regularly? Do you have a pattern for prayer? Are there any devotional Bible reading resources that have been most helpful for you? And what helps you feel close and connected to God? And I think it'd be great just to have a few of us share, because we can gain some mutual encouragement. A lot of us, similar to parenting, we feel like we don't know what we're doing. You know, we feel like I got to figure this out. And we feel maybe frustrated or discouraged by our prayer life because we just don't, am I doing it right? There's not a right way, right? But we feel that way. Or we just need some ideas. Maybe our prayer life is stale and we just need some encouragement. We need some fresh ideas, some fresh perspective. So I would invite any of you guys who'd be willing to share very briefly. We'll just kind of pocket, you know, popcorn around the room, just a few thoughts on what does prayer look like? I'll tell you this, it's a struggle for me, as I'm sure it is with you. You know, I hear stories of great leaders of the faith through the history of the church where they pray for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours at a time and all. I can't remember who the guy was. They called him old camel knees because his knees were so calloused from spending so much time on his knees in prayer. I'm like, okay, well, that makes me feel a lot better, right? We don't need that kind of, that's good, but we're not going to get there, right? So, but we shouldn't compare ourselves because prayer is about relationship. But anyway, I'll stop talking. Any of you guys, are you willing to share? What does prayer look like in your life? And I'll share more of my personal struggles and encouragements and things like that as I go, but I wanted to give you a chance to share briefly. David's got a mic.
Yeah, I learned to pray the pattern Acts ACTS, which is in the handout, and probably still use that a lot. But I started out very religious, very regimented, and check the box. Probably still do that too much. But my prayer life varies a lot more than it used to. And by far, the biggest struggle is not so much busyness, but the distractions of life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray about that later. Yeah, I got to, they're stacking up. I'm gonna spend some real time later, and later that can come. But early in the morning, but set aside time and start with a little bit of Bible reading, devotion, a little bit of music. So I lose track of the time.
Yeah.
And those are the times I probably feel the closest.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, so pattern would be, just getting up and reading, like David said, reading the Bible and praying, you know, in the morning. But in the evening, I like to do is before I go to bed is walk up the hill at Purple and sit outside if it's not raining and just kind of talk to God about my day and pray always about my kids for protection, that they would know the Lord, that I would know the Lord better, just a relationship to grow. And it's funny, last night I'm thinking, God, I'm just constantly asking you for things, you know. And so it's an awareness that, Lord, show me what you want, because I'm constantly asking him. Yeah,
that's good.
I'm sharing because Drew sent me an email, told me to share.
It's mandatory.
I forgot to reply. But yeah, for me, the way I pray is I usually journal. I write. Someone told me this in high school, to do a check-in with God when I start my day. And basically, it's just like I just write whatever I'm feeling at God. And I just write at that moment, whatever I'm feeling, I'll just start writing. And that turns into a prayer. So that's been something I do every morning. And then when I go to work, when I get into my car and go on duty, I just open up, see what other troopers are on or are working with me that day. And then I'll just go through the list and just pray over each person. I don't know them that well. So usually I'll just pray for their name generically. Be like, God, you know what's going on with him. Do something. You know. But then as these guys will share things about their life, you know, the prayers will get a little bit longer. But that's usually what I'll do. I'll try to pray for the people I'm working for that
day
or working with that day.
Thank you, Joe. We got Laura, then Rip, and then Steve. And then
I've Laura. Always struggled with prayer as well. But in the last year doing journaling with Jesus, I've learned every problem or situation I have has two parts, not just the problem, but also how I feel about it. And to bring those feelings to Jesus, and often I'll journal and write, Jesus, what do you want me to know about feeling disappointed? And he'll answer, and his answers tend to be about my identity, my value, or his character. And that's been the most powerful thing I've done in my whole life just in the past year. And I've felt more loved by God and cared for by God than I have ever. And I do a lot more listening now than I do talking, and it's made a big difference.
That's great.
Yeah, I was just going to mention a resource that kind of helps with my pattern. About a year and a half, 2 years ago, I read the book by John Eldridge. I think it's called Get Your Life Back. And when I read the book, I realized he has an app, and it's called the Pause app. And you can set it up for one time, five times, however many times a day. I had mine set for like two times a day, where it gives me a reminder. And then it just gives you a 1 minute prayer. And for me, that's been very helpful, because the whole thought of like praying continually, like my days get crazy between the dog and the kids and the phone and everything else. And to me, that's just been a good reminder to kind of help me pause. Like I had it set a little before, like at 11:45, it goes off the alarm. And then it was set at 3:45 before I used to pick up Micah from school. That time has changed a little bit. I probably need to tweak it in the afternoon. But just to kind of remind me to stop and pause, because it's just easy to go about your day the way you think you should go about your day. And that's not, my way is not always the best way.
I brought my own microphone. So also Drew had said, if I didn't share, I was not welcome back to Good News Church. So, but I'd like to take kind of a little bit different angle, because a lot of times we think of prayer as going to God, asking for things, forgiveness, blessings, whatever it may be. But like you had said, prayer is relationship. And so Bonnie and I, my wife and I, have had the privilege of officiating over 30-something weddings. And when we do that, they have to do premarital counseling. And one of the biggest things we tell them is because we work with non-believers, believers. And one of the biggest things we tell them is if you go to church with your partner, your marital happiness statistically doubles. If you pray together as a couple, your marital happiness doubles that. So prayer and intimacy with your partner, like if you can, the times that our marriage has flourished is when we have that time in the morning, every morning, where we're praying together. And it's kind of weird at first. Like, if you don't pray regularly with your spouse and to pray with them, it's a little bit awkward. And I think it's because it's so intimate. And so also, just like our marriage does so much better when we're praying together, it really doesn't even matter what I'm praying to God, but my intimacy with God also increases. And then as far as the devotional or Bible reading resources, something that we love, it's on the Bible app, and it is called Bible Recap. And so it's basically Bible in a year, but what's cool is it gives you, you know, the verses each day. And then after you read that, especially when you're like chilling in Leviticus for a few weeks and you're going, what, I can't cut my beard, what's up with that? There's a podcast for each day. So you read the readings, and then she's kind of explaining, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what Jewish culture, history said, all those type of things. So we love that one.
That's good.
Bible Recap on the Bible app.
Good.
Words are very important to me. So the quality of prayer I want to improve. Drew, if you and I are talking, I want to be able to hear what you say, and I want my words to matter. I want them to have some sort of impact. And building off of what Laura said, it's that continual daily distraction. Where do I find that moment in time to have basically noiseless, where I can actually focus and pray to God, and it's so intimate that it is that quality prayer. I find it at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake up, and the first thing I want to do is I want to interact. And it's fabulous. I may not get up the next morning, but the quality of the prayer and the things that I need to say are all being said. Yeah. And it's a fabulous time. So the goal is to try and establish that same template that comes at 3 o'clock in the morning during the part of my day. And I'm not very structured, but I'm working on it. And once I get that template, I'll share it. But until then.
That's good. Thank you, Steve.
I found one thing that really has helped me is I talk to God all through the day as he's sitting next to me. Yeah. So I'll be driving and I look crazy, but I found that really helps as well, is God's presence with me all through the day. So I'll just chat.
Yeah.
And then obviously in the morning and the evening, but I find chatting with him all through the day is really helpful.
That's great, Jason. We got Ray. Anybody else? And then we'll keep moving. Ray, we got, I may not need to preach today. I may just push it back.
So I definitely love the fact that prayer, it's an opportunity for intimacy with God.
Yeah.
But the prayer without ceasing, I think it's really important because the battle, it seems like without ceasing in life, there is so much to fear, that there is so much to be overwhelmed. And I believe that's why Jesus said, you know, pray without ceasing, because your battles will be without ceasing.
Yeah.
The projections and the, you know, so every time we go like, oh God, it's an opportunity to pray. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity. Or we are like, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. you know, because life throws us those big rocks, and it's a great opportunity to just give it back to God and say, God, here is something that just made me overwhelmed just to hear about.
That's good.
So I wanted to talk to you about that, you know?
That's good.
I'll share real quick.
Yeah.
For the longest time, I've struggled with prayer and not wanting to come to God for my issues. And longest time, I was kind of like doing the Acts thing where I was feeling like I was checking the box quite a bit. But a few years ago, I started changing my perspective and starting, one, speaking out loud when I prayed, when I was alone at least. That helped me make my thoughts more clear. And just like Jason was saying, just like he's right there, and I had to change my perspective. Like, I think Jason actually also said, or the other Jason said, last week, like just Abba, Father, Daddy, kind of changing the perspective in my mind so that I could feel more comfortable coming to him every day, talking out loud to him as if he's right there next to me. And that changed my perspective of who he is as a father figure, as a God. And then the other thing as well is just starting with gratitude. Thank you, God, for everything you give me. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you know the situation fully, and you know that there's nothing that, statistically speaking, is going to happen or change. And it's sometimes hard, but being grateful, starting on my prayer, being grateful for what he's given me, backs me up a little bit and lets me continue talking to him, listening to him, instead of just asking for stuff.
Right. Thank you, David.
Real quick. So I'll piggyback on what Dave Lee was saying earlier. The axe, you know, method that you have here as well has been, I'm a structured person. So if you're that kind of person, this will be good for you.
Yeah.
If you're not, it probably won't be. But I've followed this for years, and it's in the morning time. But like you were saying, talking out loud to God, you know, it's broadened beyond mornings now. I'll get a text from somebody, hey, such and such is sick, or, you know, they're worried about this, can you pray? And it used to be I would like, I'll do it tomorrow morning because it's the morning when I pray, you know, but I do it then now. And it's an effort because I'm pulling away from what I'm doing at that moment, but it's, I guess, an evolution of the prayer life, you know, and it's becoming more organic and spontaneous. Yeah. And so, yeah.
That's good.
Looking forward to hear what you have to say.
That's good. Maybe one or two more, and we can pick this back up next week too. So this is great.
Well, for myself, over the years, I have always read my Bible early in the morning. But the next thing I do is I open up a book called Valley of Vision, which is Puritan Prayers. And I read one of those each day. And I've gone through that book probably 10 times. But I love that book and the prayers that are there, because it really opens my heart and my mind to what the Lord wants. And then, of course, now this year, I'm starting to read our devotional afterwards. And it carries on even there. But as far as a set time of prayer, I've never been comfortable sitting for 15, 20 minutes praying. But what I've come to learn is that at any given moment in the day, whether I see something on TV, hear something on the radio, in a conversation, I just pray. It's just very easy for me. And I think it's because I didn't have much of a dad when I was growing up. So God is my father. And that's who I carry everything to. I didn't have love when I was growing up. And so his love has always been there for me. And I'm very comfortable just chatting and not having to sit there and make it a ritual of a particular type that a lot of people like to do.
That's great, Jimmy. Thank you. Did I see anybody else? And then we'll keep rolling. All right, we'll come back to this next week. I love this. This is helpful for me. I think it's affirming of what's going on in our lives and maybe hopefully encouraging of, okay, this might, maybe I'll try this. This idea of sort of a fluid prayer, speaking your prayers out loud, writing them down, journaling prayers. That's all very helpful. Thank you guys for sharing. There was a quote that I found, and Scott Saul said this, and there are others who have said it in different ways, but a lot of us when we're praying, especially if we're praying in the morning, sometimes you really fight falling asleep, you know, and you're like, now I feel terrible. I'm trying to pray and here I'm falling asleep. I'm nodding off. Scott Saul said, do you feel guilty falling asleep while praying? Well, how do you feel when a child nods off in your lap? There. Feel better? You should. That's what it's like when we fall asleep in God's lap. He's not angry. It happens. It's actually a place of peace. So there are lots of frustrations that we're going to experience in prayer. That may be one of them. It's a good illustration to say, you know, God's grace is all over us when we're praying. Just stopping and just listening. Even if you don't say a word, just giving God our attention and some time, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, and say, God, I'm just here. I'm here. Speak to me. And he'll put things in our hearts and in our minds. So just real quick, for me, And this is not the thing to do by any means. It's just what it looks like for me. But we have a bonus room in our house, and I love it. It's a window that kind of overlooks the cul-de-sac, and I go up every morning with my coffee, and Joy, our dog, follows me up, and she sits and stares out the window, and I get on my knees. I was encouraged a few years ago that that is helpful. I've done that over the years in the past, and I've, you know, I've done prayer walks, and I've, you know, prayed in all kinds of different ways, but this, I guess the last few years has been most helpful for me. I get on my knees, I really get on my face, and I speak out loud to God. And I don't really have necessarily a structured thing. I do sort of loosely follow the acts, the adoration. I usually start with, you know, praising God for who he is. And because I need to be reminded of those things. And then confessing, you know, Lord, I'm not here in my own name. I have no business being here in my own name, but I'm in Jesus's name. And I come to him. He's my strong advocate before your throne of grace. And so and I confess and repent of my sin. I give thanks and then supplication, just prayer requests. And I have gotten into a habit of really kind of concluding my prayer time almost every morning with this prayer that sort of materialized. And I wrote it down. It's in, and I'm going to touch on this prayer guide that I handed out. I'm not going to go through it extensively, but you know, my daily prayer is this: Heavenly Father, I surrender my life again to you today. I surrender. That's the big word there. And I submit myself, surrender and submission to your leading, to your lordship, to your law, his commands. I submit myself to these things. I come under your lordship. I come under your law, and I submit myself to your love. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's my desire for every day. And there's so many days I come down from the bonus room and I completely go sideways. But that's my heart's desire every day. And that captures what I deeply desire. I think I definitely want to be under the lordship of Jesus in everything that I do. And so I just acknowledge it. I also, a lot of mornings, I'll start my prayer time by just inviting Jesus. You know, I'll invite the Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill this room. Fill my heart. Fill my mind. Come and meet me here. Jesus, come and be my companion in this prayer time. I'm inviting you into my day. You've given me this day, and so now I give it back to you, and I want to walk through this day with you. So in a nutshell, that's a little bit about what my prayer life looks like. And I'll pray, and then I'll sit down, and I use Bible in 1 Year. I've been doing that for years, an app. Many of y'all know about it, but BibleInOneYear.org. And then some of these other shorter devotionals I've been enjoying as well. But I try to, you know, start my day that way. I've had it where I try to do it at, you know, there are times I've done it at the end of the day, and I'd rather, to me, at the beginning of the day, because then everything that I experience in the day comes through the lens of this relationship, this time with Jesus, a filter that's coming through this time with him. So that's sort of what it looks like for me. I wanted to touch on, let me look at time, got a few minutes, so I'm going to skip a bunch of my notes and probably come back to them next week, but what is our motivation for prayer? Because that oftentimes is the thing that we just struggle with the most. What's going to motivate us to get on our face, to go for a walk, to really try to be intentional about spending time with the Lord in prayer? And as I thought about this, the things, and I know there's more, but the big buckets are these: desperation, crying out to God in distress. We don't know where else to go or what else to do. And so that just puts us in a place of prayer. Need, intense need in our life. You know, we get a bad medical report. We get a phone call that's bad news in a relationship. Whatever it may be, we lose our job. This instant need, even if we're not walking with God for a long time, oftentimes we just, you know, you hear the prayer. People say, God, if you're there, who cares? That's a great way to pray. God loves it when we come to him. And he meets us exactly where we are, wherever we are. He just wants us to come to him. In fact, a lot of the times, desperation and need in our lives are his tools. They're his instrument to push us and to move us closer to him. Because he knows when everything's going great, that's the hardest time to pray, typically. We have to, you know, be decisional about our prayer life when things are going really well. Confession, you know, will drive us to prayer. Gratitude will fuel prayer. Praise will fuel prayer. But by and large, this idea of desperation and distress and need, I think for me in my life, has really been probably the biggest driving factor. And then I can kind of coast during the good times it becomes more of a habit and it's a decision. I'm not praying out of emotion. I'm praying out of a decision. And then oftentimes God meets me in that. And I found this great quote. This is from one of my devotionals, Jack Miller from Saving Grace on November 21st. This was so good. He says this, I think it's on the screen. He says, effective prayer starts with knowing that you have nothing. If you have a strong sense of your own competence, then there isn't much reason to pray. It's not the disciplined practice of prayer that teaches you to pray, as much as it is the awareness of your own helplessness in the midst of desperate need that teaches you to pray. It's the morning sickness that teaches you to pray. It's the wife you don't know how to help and love that teaches you to pray. It's the husband you can't cope with that teaches you to pray. Prayer becomes effective when you don't have any clue how to make life work, and yet you believe that God sees your struggle and helps you as you ask and keep on asking. Isn't that good? I got emotional as I was reading, as God sees your struggle. We're struggling. All of us have stuff that we're struggling about and struggling with. And you know what? God sees your struggle. He sees it. He knows you. He's with you. He's for you. He loves you. And when we come to prayer, come to Him in prayer, we connect to that love that He has for us. He sees our struggle. But it is that idea of, I have no idea how to make life work. There was a, I'm going to skip, there are a couple of scripture verses here. I'm going to skip over to try to get, I'll come back to them next week, or I'll send them out this in the midweek email. But it dawned on me that we can live life really in one of two attitudes, right? It is either I got it or I need help. Those are the prevailing attitudes of our life. And if we live life in an attitude of I've got it, then good luck, right? But when we live life with an attitude of I need help, I need help from God, I need help from other people, I need help, that's a spirit of humility that God can work with, and He does work with. The other is a spirit of pride. And there's not much that God can do with a spirit of pride, except for in His grace, maybe crush it. And if you're in a place where your pride gets crushed, it's not because God hates you. It's because God loves you. He's crushing our pride. And He does that with all of us. You know, if you didn't grow up in faith, some of us grew up in faith and we'd say, you know, we've never known a time where we didn't know the love of the Lord. Then most likely, if you came to faith as an adult, it's through a crushing situation or circumstance. That's usually how it happens. A lot of times an intellectual kind of turning on, that helps. Like, oh yeah, I never thought of it that way. That helps. Truth, you know, is what ignites our hearts and our spirit. We have to have truth. But our hearts come alive oftentimes when we experience great need, desperation, distress. Real quick, so I'll do this, let's see, looking at my notes. I'll do this Cape Canaveral National Cemetery illustration. I'll introduce the prayer guide, and then I'll close with a devotional. We were in Florida for 2 weeks, and we were sidetracked and had to take a side road to get from Delray Beach, Florida to St. Augustine, Florida. And I just told the kids, hey, let's make the best of this. Let's look for something interesting in the next 15 minutes that we're on this side road. And just look, you know, see if there's anything interesting out there. Well, lo and behold, we come across the Cape Canaveral National Cemetery. It's Memorial Day weekend, and it was Saturday that we're driving through. I'm like, I mean, I made a U-turn. We went back. I'm like, we're driving through. It's Memorial Day weekend. So if you've never been to a national cemetery, there's one here. There are multiples here. I mean, it's just an incredible experience. So we're driving through, and I see these rows of tombstones of people who have sacrificed and given their lives for our freedom. And it was very touching, you know, Memorial Day weekend, really that being forefront on our minds. But as we were driving through very slowly, I noticed something in the back of one of the rows that is like, that's unusual. What is that? So I backed the car up, and this is what I saw. It's a blurred image because it's out. But it was a woman, a young woman, flat on her back, next to the tombstone of most likely her husband, maybe a brother, maybe a parent. But way out, she was the only one out there, and you couldn't see her above the headstones. But I saw her. And that to me is a great illustration for a motivating factor for prayer, is when we are flat on our backs and there's no place to see or no place to look but up. And it's a really hard place to be, but it's also a sweet place to be. Some of y'all know Jack and Stephanie Wolf. Jack was my church planting mentor, and he really was a mentor to our leadership. They live one street over and or one neighborhood over from us. They just got the devastating news. They have two sons. Their 49-year-old son dropped dead of a heart attack this past week. And, you know, Laura and I spent some time with them, and I know Ray and Rachel have been ministering to them as well. They said it just took their breath away. You know, they just have been undone this past week. But they've also said, the sweetness of Jesus and this undoneness has been something that they've not really ever, you know, experienced before. It's just different. So this idea that prayer, and you don't have to go through hard, bad experiences to have this awareness of need to fuel your prayer, right? I think just looking in and looking at the sin of our hearts and the sin of our attitudes and the motivations, even behind our good works, we can see just the sinfulness of our hearts and the need that we have for a God and for his grace. And so that can be a motivating, fueling factor. I'm going to come back to a lot of this stuff. The prayer guide, I want you to take it with you. They're all over the room. Basically, I came up with this a few years ago, and it was intended for people who really feel intimidated by prayer, who feel like, you know, I have no direction with prayer. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. I really was thinking of people when they get into groups and they're really afraid to pray out loud. But it's also intended just for personal prayer time. And it's built around the whole ACTS thing, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication or requests. And under each one of those, there are some sentence prayers that you could just pray it as a sentence. There are also words. I love one word prayers. So there's a list of words for adoration. There's a list of words for confession, a list of words for thanksgiving, and a list of words for supplication. And I went through it again and prayed through it just the other day, and it really was rich for me. So I think hopefully it'll be a good resource to help maybe kickstart or encourage your prayer life. There are two inserts as well. One is, as I've gone through Bible in 1 year, there are three prayers that go with that reading every day. And as there's a prayer that touches my heart, I grab it and put it into a file. Well, this is kind of like my greatest hits of Bible in 1 year prayers. And I've organized them according to topic, but they're great one sentence prayers. And I think they'll be a blessing to you. And then there's a one sheet insert that's really, it's praying through the Lord's Prayer, which we're going to do next week, Father's Day. Our Father who art in heaven, we're going to connect the fatherhood of God as we pray. And then the backside of that sheet are some scripture references to encourage us in prayer. So I'll go through that more, but take that. And I'm going to put this online as well, so you can download a soft copy. It'll be with our sermon notes, and we'll make that very easily accessible. Gosh, there's so much good stuff. Prayer is the lifeline of the Christian faith. It is the lifeline. And oftentimes I forget that. It's really more about information. It's Bible reading. It's doing stuff. It's going to church. Prayer is the essential lifeline because it's communication. Every relationship needs effective and continual, ongoing, clear communication. And that's what prayer is. It's us communicating with God and communing with God. So I'm going to wrap up with this. Charles Spurgeon wrote a devotional in 1865 called Morning and Evening. And it's great. It's a little, you know, brief devotional in the morning, brief devotional in the evening. And I've had it for years, and I just decided maybe 2 months ago to start using it. And I've loved it. And it's this idea that we pray to a God who identifies with us. And the verse that he builds this devotional off of is 2 Samuel 15, verse 23, and it says this: "The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron." And you guys are like, what in the world is that? Well, this is David, King David, when his son Absalom betrayed him and took over the kingdom, came in, and David and all his leaders and all his people had to escape with their lives. And they're leaving, they're fleeing Jerusalem. David was barefoot, and he's sleeping, and they're walking over the brook Kidron. And then David goes up into the Mount of Olives. And we know that's a pathway that Jesus took. And so Spurgeon builds this devotional off of that message. And I was looking for some confirmation this morning in my prayer time of just the service and the message. And this passage happens to be, providentially, the passage for today's Bible in 1 year reading. So I thought that was kind of cool. But I'll read this and then I'll close. David passed that gloomy brook when flying with his mourning company from his traitor son. The man after God's own heart was not exempt from trouble. Nay, his life was full of it. He was both the Lord's anointed and the Lord's afflicted. Why then should we expect to escape? At sorrow's gate, the noblest of our race have waited with ashes on their heads. Wherefore then should we complain as though some strange thing is happening to us? The King of Kings himself was not favored with a more cheerful or royal road. Talking about Jesus. He passed over the filthy ditch of Kidron, through which the filth of Jerusalem flowed. God had one son without sin, but not a single child without trouble. It's a great joy to believe that Jesus has been tempted in all points, like as we are. We pray to a God who identifies with our weaknesses. He has been there. He has done that. What is your Kidron this morning? Is it a faithless friend, a sad bereavement, a slanderous reproach, a dark foreboding? The King has passed over all of these. Is it bodily pain, poverty, persecution, or contempt? Over each of these Kidrons, the King has gone before us. In all our afflictions, he was afflicted. The idea of strangeness in our trials must be banished at once and forever, for he who is the head of all saints knows by experience the grief which we think so peculiar. All the citizens of Zion must be free of the honorable company of mourners, of which the Prince Emmanuel is head and captain. And this is the final couple sentences. David returned in triumph to his city, and David's Lord, Jesus, arose victorious from the grave. Let us then be of good courage, for we also shall win the day. We shall yet with joy draw water out of the wells of salvation. Though now for a season we have to pass by the noxious streams of sin and sorrow, courage, soldiers of the cross. The King himself triumphed after going over Kidron, and so shall you. And that's good news for us today. Let me pray. Lord, thank you that there is no trouble in this life that can bring from which you do not rescue us, ultimately with eternal life in your presence. Charles Spurgeon said, "The deeper the troubles, the louder our praise to God who has led us through everything and preserved us until now. Our grief cannot ruin the melody of our praise. We consider hardship and sadness to be the baseline of our life's song. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Thank you, Father, that in the midst of our troubles, we can pray to you and be refreshed by your presence. In Jesus' name, amen."